Well, you can go ahead and open to Hebrews, the first chapter, and then put a marker there, even if it's your finger. Then go on over the 16th chapter of John. So we'll start in the 16th chapter of John. And we'll be over in Hebrews after that, if things go according to plan. So, passing in review just briefly. In Palm Springs, this last year, August, I slipped into the Spirit while standing in front of a girl who, Friday night, Gary held up the picture of her. It's her birthday coming up. She never walked, never communicated. I'm standing in front of her and slipped into the Spirit. And God did some things like tell me that I've become accountable for what I know in that area. When he got through with that, I slipped into the Spirit a little further and I saw his glory. But the emphasis when I saw his glory was on the glory that was given to him in his humanity. And sure enough, that when he began to break the 17th chapter of John down, that I and him and him and me and we and you, that we all might be made perfect in one, that when his glory was in his humanity, I mean, that glory that I saw was linked with his humanity as the first begotten, the firstborn of God. And he said to me, the key to breaking all of those verses down through there was looking not at Jesus' deity, but at his humanity. So all those verses along there began to be broke. Such as this 16th chapter here. But as you know, in the 17th chapter, Jesus says, my glory I give unto you. And that glory that he gave unto us was the glory of the position that he held with his Father as his Son, the first begotten, the firstborn of the church. That is the glory. That position and that standing is the glory that he's given unto me and you. Now, to understand that glory just a little bit more, again, Arnold Schwarzenegger's glory is his muscles. You know, he glories in them. They're his life. His muscles is what he is. And if he gave you his glory, and you would end up looking and acting in the same muscles just like him. And then to go to the other end of the pendulum, we got a computer. We call them computer nerds, but in social circles you may say computer expert. But generally their brain is putting out so much power, there's not enough left over to run their body. That's why they got the reputation in the last century of coming out with one pants leg stuffed in their sock, pencil pack leaking on their shirt, bedhead. Well, if he gave you his glory, what would he give you? The next day you could hack into the FBI files. Because that's his glory. He lives for it. This is what Jesus was talking about then in the 14th chapter of John. Remember breaking this down according to his humanity. In my Father's house has many mansions, rooms. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I ought to know because he occupied one of those places in God as his firstborn son. So he ought to know, in my Father's house is many rooms, yet I go to prepare a place for you. And he went by way of the cross. He prepared a place for us so that he could come again and receive us unto himself, that where I am, you may be also. When he said, where I am is that place, that room that he held and occupied with the Father as his son and firstborn. Well, he said, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you'll occupy the same room, that you may be also. For my glory I give unto you, he said. Where I am, you may be also. Well, of course, you know, Thomas jumped in there. He says, how can we know where you go and the way? And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can come to the Father but by that life. Well, my glory I give unto you, not as the world gives. Well, his glory is that position he holds with the Father in his humanity. See, and that'll help you understand these verses now. As Jesus was just about to go home, and he was making the promise of the Holy Spirit who would come. And he was telling of his ministry when he did come. And looking at this, at the 12th verse, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now because you don't have a new nature. You can't bear them now. He says, howbeit, in the 13th verse, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Now, there's people that have the Spirit of truth but don't have much truth, because all he'll do is guide. He won't push. You take your will and choose to believe anything you want. You'll stand up and fight Benny Hinn and fight the Holy Ghost and fight the miracles and do it as a champion of God. Well, he won't push. If he's going to push anybody, he'd have pushed Adam. He'd have pushed him away from the tree. So he don't push. You got a time to decide who you're going to serve. He doesn't push. He guides. Can anybody tell me something you can do every day that'll kick that guidance system in? Right, you're a sharp crowd, I can tell you. He said, he's come to guide you into all truth. This is why James, the 3rd chapter, says, be not many masters, which is teachers. Be not many masters are an expert of everything. Be not many masters, teachers, receiving the greater condemnation. He that offends not in word or doctrine, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Well, of course, as faith people, we taught that more like, with my words, I turn myself and my body out of disease. And with my word, I turn myself in. I turn myself out of problems or turn myself into problems, because you have what you say. But really, you know, really, Jesus was covering a broader scope. Be not many teachers, receiving the greater condemnation, a man offend not in word or doctrine. Same's a perfect man and able to put a bit in the mouth of the body of Christ, able to bridle it. Same way the helm on the ship and a bit in the horse's mouth. He's much more massive than the man guiding it. Same chapter, a little kindling kindles a large flame, so is the tongue among the members. Teacher has the power to snap a bit in the body of Christ's mouth. Take her even out of Christ and all the way to hell, much less into doctrines that defeat you. You think it's an uncommon thing that he said that same man would receive the greater sentence of condemnation and loss of reward. But he won't push. He won't push you. When you decide in that new nature of yours, then that decision is what he has to work with. Thank God he'll honor people's prayers and send a steady stream of people to you who walk on the same authority on this earth as you do, new nature, and he'll send them to you and send them to you because they're his servants. And they'll talk to you and talk to you, and he just won't quit until the day you lay down and still say, I don't want any of it. He won't push, but he'll guide. You can't guide something unless it's willing to be moved. He didn't say drag. He said guide. Well, notice here this verse, howbeit, again, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into a half of the truth. Okay, let's up it a little. Three quarters? Would you look at this? How much can you have? Oh, tell you. Oh. Who did he send to see to this? Him, the Holy Spirit. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come. Notice now, 14, very closely. He shall glorify me.
Well, how do you do that, Holy Spirit?
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shew it unto you. And that's how he glorifies Jesus. Now, is there anything that you know you can do every day that causes that process?
Bring it home.
Oh, Ben, I've got a crowd this morning. See, this is his ministry to guide me by receiving of his. This is his whole ministry. And shewing it unto me. Now, notice this next verse. People just, we don't know what to do with verses like this. You know, all things, Jesus said, that the Father hath are mine. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it. Shew it unto you. Now, what does a guy, you know, in a traditional church do with something like this? All things the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I said in the previous verse that he will take of mine and shew it unto you. Well, where did he get it? He got it from the Father. So it certainly couldn't be talking about his deity. Only his position in his humanity as the firstborn. So he says, woo, all that he gave me as the firstborn of the church, he says, in my humanity, that glory I give unto you. Therefore, he sent you the teacher that all the Father gave to me is supposed to be shown unto you because my glory I give unto you. The key to breaking that verse again is his humanity. And thank God he gave us a practical way, independent of ourselves, where we can't even mess the knowledge up. We're communicating to him hour after hour in prayer. And can anybody tell me what you can do every day that releases this process of being guided into all truth?
Praying in tongues.
We've been strong on that for 12 years. Would you say? Right now. Now, of course, 17th chapter then, and that magnificent prayer he prayed for us. Beginning with 19, in this prayer, 19th verse, 17th chapter, he said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. That I separate myself to finish what you give me to do, so they can be separated by the truth and enter into this life." Now 20 says, "Neither pray I for these alone, that those that are here with me now, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So this prayer is for me. And I don't think Jesus is in really much of a habit of having his prayers not come to pass. I know I'm not. I won't let myself get in that. If you believe what you pray, then you'll write it out till it comes to pass. Huh? And you'll pray according to the word too. Because you won't be stupid things. You won't pray stupid things. This is why he can grant you the desires of your heart. Because a man that delights himself in God can only do that through the foundation of his word. There is no other way. So my prayers will be accurate because they're founded on his word, that he can grant the desires of my heart because I delight myself in him. Well, of all people to have their prayers answered, I would expect Jesus would. So here, I want that prayer to be answered in me. He's the one that prayed it, so I don't really think there's enough power anywhere to stop it except with me. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to let the devil do it. My flesh is not going to stop me. You know that he said something to me the other day about my flesh. I just hate it when I react to anything in the flesh. I hate it. In fact, as the days go by, I hate it worse and worse. The other day, I was just condemning myself, you know, just, "Boy, you have no right to react in the flesh. And really, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. How you react is not dependent on what they're doing." But here I was, you know, probably hate every time I react in the flesh. I hate myself more than I ever have in my life. And I have a tendency to begin to condemn myself. And God said, that's not necessarily a bad sign, he told me. Because the closer that you do get to me, the worse you're going to hate your reactions in the flesh. And so I said, "Thank you for that little bitty piece of meat. I'm not so bad." Well, Jesus prayed this prayer for me. And I know there's a standing out there that the church knows very little about, that Jesus talked about. He said, "The Spirit of truth has come. He'll guide you into all truth and all things. All things are possible to him that believes." There's a place waiting that when Jesus can get turned loose in a city like ours, that city, it'll suffer two things, a great, great revival and great opposition. But at least we'll have the revival. Amen. Great revival. I was studying Paul's patterns. Great revival, great opposition. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, how many knows there is that place for the church to walk in, and it's been available for 2,000 years? Don't you know that when he put us on the born-again trail, the first things we taught when we come out here was only what he had said to me, and that was, "You'll find all that I've ever promised you on this trail." And he spoke the truth. I'm understanding it now, just obtaining it. Oh, Oh, I'm glad. Hugo, I'm so glad. Get out of this church. Well, notice this. In the 20th verse again, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for those also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one who with them, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may also be one in us, so the world might be able to believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hello, computer nerd. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And somebody says, well, you might hurt people's feelings after comparing them to a computer nerd. I says, no, I used myself as an example. And I used Arnold Schwarzenegger. I didn't get offended. Is anybody else having a good time? Why should anybody get offended because they know a lot about computers? I didn't get offended when I used Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay. Moving right along. The 22nd verse again, that the glory which thou gavest me, I given them, that they may be one, as even we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they might be made perfect in one. Now, to help you understand that statement again, by one man's offense, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by that sin. He said, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, the next verse says, Romans 5, nevertheless, death reigned over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which means everybody that was born of Adam just kept dying, even though the sin wasn't imputed and they were not responsible for their fall. He said, nevertheless, death still reigned over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's original transgression. So every human being was made imperfect in one. But now, he said, he's in Christ, Christ in him. Because Christ is in the Father, and the Father's in him. How so? The Father says, as he had life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. And the Son took that same life and gave to you to have life within yourself. And just as we were made imperfect by spiritual death in one, now, by the resurrection of one man, we have been baptized into his life and perfected in one. By what? That life that he received from the Father, which was what? That first man to be born spiritually alive since the fall of Adam 4,000 years later. In that life, in that human spirit he received from his Father, in that same life he received from his Father, I received from him. So I am now being perfected in one as you are, and that one we're being perfected in is Christ, who received his life from the Father. Hallelujah. Then looking at this then, 23rd verse again, I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and you have loved me. You have loved them. We probably need to go over that one again. As thou hast loved me. Now wait a minute. This one's incomprehensible. The same love he loved Jesus with. Wait a minute. He wants the world to understand that the same compassion, the same love, same everything, the same glory that he had for Jesus, he has for me. And he says it all right there. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and love them as thou hast loved me. Now he wants the world to know that the Father loves us with that same love that he loved him with. Well, I'd say so, you know. It altered the position of the Godhead forever. A father become a father. The Word became his Son, deity and humanity. And the precious Holy Spirit had a regeneration work to carry out. You talk about love. To make sure we had everything available to us that we needed to find these things out, he sent the teacher. Yet like Adam, he can't push you. He can't drag you. But he can lead you. Into how much truth? Oh. We have some things to find out. And I think in this phase we're going to find out more about his power, more about his glory. I have been enjoying the heart of the Father being poured out on me. I've been enjoying that. The feelings are inexplainable. All of a sudden I find myself crying almost before I even think. Well, that's just a little unveiling of his heart. I don't know what's out in front. But I do know if he can get more of his compassion in me, twisted up kids, it's going to be no problem. I'm also so pleased that he was so readily ready to transfer by his grace. That's what happened in Gatlinburg, that I couldn't come home, or Cleveland, Tennessee, for 6 weeks. He just kept pouring it out and changing people that I've never in my whole life seen vary since I've known him. Well, just a little bit of the heart of the Father being able to be transferred by grace because it's present can start a stillness and a change, a fast change of people's life. And what are we entering into? I want more of that love that he loved Jesus with, even though he can't even unpeel but an onion skin at a time. And as I keep telling you, it was amazing to me to have a vision of an onion and it being unpeeled, one peel. But when he gave me the first wave of his love, I understood why I couldn't take any more. 9 hours of crying, I tried to call Gary to get him to pray for me and Tim. And I got Gary to get him to pray for me and to tell the church to pray for me that night. And I couldn't even hardly talk to him, and there wasn't any signs of letting up. Well, I had to come out of it to do the conference. Showed up again on the Friday night. It's been showing up in almost every service. Not necessarily all the time heavy in the crowd, but in me that to a certain point I can tell that I'm not going to go any further in God until whatever He's trying to bring me into, until I finish. So I've been trying to stay home. But the more He gives you, almost the more impossible that it is. But I am. Because as far as meetings go, everything goes to a certain point, then there's no more information. Doesn't do any good to pray about them, because there's no information. I only have what He told me before I went into the seeking time, and He's not saying anything else. So I say, should I do this meeting? Silence. So I've got a dead spot in front of me that I've got to finish finding out what He's doing. So at least I should be home. Amen. Well, that makes me happy. Let's go to Hebrews 1st chapter. Hallelujah. 45 minutes warming up. 15 minutes to introduce Hebrews. Amen. We begin a bit the first verse. Ooh, Kinesiliko. Oh. You know, maybe you better stand up and help me. Just help me for a minute, please. Oh. Hallelujah. Woo. To find out He loves you. The Father does with the same love He loved Jesus. Ooh, and that you're being perfected in that one, the last man, Adam. Oh, everything He is, the Holy Ghost is planning on making you. And He would like to take what He brought from heaven to do it with instead of waiting for you to get to heaven. Why don't you take what heaven sent and use it before you get there? Did you think that's a good plan? Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. I magnify You and glorify Your holy name. I give You all the praise and the glory. How can we honor You? How can we thank You for that teacher and for Your word? For a shot into the darkness of spiritually dead men. We get our shot in the dark. Hallelujah. We get our shot in the dark. And I got an infrared scope on my gun. I have God's sight. Devil, I got something for you. It's called crosshairs. Hallelujah. Ooh, how come you can take a shot in the dark? Because I found the light. Because I'm adjusting my scope according to the new nature. I'm a duck that was raised as a chicken and found out I can swim. How do you know you can swim? It's something on the inside of me. Told me. I'm not a chicken. I have the nature of God. Jesus has come and received me unto Himself, and He gave me a teacher to try to find out what and where He has received me and where I am.
I just don't hardly believe that.
I know you don't believe all things are possible to him that believeth either. You don't believe you can say to the mountain, and the works I do, you'll do also. And to Him, nothing should be impossible.
Well, if it takes believing this to believe the other, I'm in. Give me your glory. Give me your glory that I may glorify you. Jesus, I love you. I think I may be okay. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Brother Roberson, this seems impossible. We're not imbalanced. I understand this body. I understand the flesh. I understand He's given me the Holy Spirit. I understand also He's Lord. I understand Jesus is also deity. We're not talking about anything to do with His deity. The position He gave us is in His humanity. Can you prove it? Oh, sure. Sure I can. Sure. Yet the Word of God says so much that it's so far out there and untouchable by anyone. The generations go by. He beats the church out of it. And when someone even gets close to it, the people that are kept in spiritual darkness, not spiritual death, that are usually placed there by a James 3 teacher, became an expert and an absolute authority in areas that are not true. Like the Holy Ghost isn't for today, or speaking with tongues. But when we do see a man pull out like William Branham or something, the people that walk so far away from God try to make a little God out of himself. Yet he said these things are possible. We shouldn't be so surprised. He wants to come and visit this earth. He explained how he wanted to come as the water covers the sea. He wants to fill every nook and cranny. He wants to rage with revival on this whole planet. How do you know? Because it wasn't the Father's will that any should perish. All through the eternities of time since the fall, and the dispensations before us, and the redemption, and to place such a precious gift into our hands. And it was not His will that one man perish off the face of this earth. How about Judas? Not him, even. No one. It wasn't His will for Adam to fall. It wasn't His will for any to perish. When Jesus said that the world can know that the Father loves us with the same love He loved Him, is when we begin to demonstrate the glory and the attributes and the power of Jesus. Well, He wouldn't give us whole chapters of virtually almost unbreakable scriptures if they was not breakable for people who want to be led by the Spirit. And no man can take that position in my life. Hallelujah. Nor yours. All we can do is teach what the Holy Spirit's already taught. Therefore, there is not many teachers. There's only one. Hallelujah. And that is Christ. If I'm not repeating what He's saying, I'm not doing anything. If I'm repeating what He's saying, then all I'm doing is passing on what He's taught, but He is the teacher. Amen. It's okay.
Prove it, Mother Roberson.
Prove it. Okay. Begin with the first verse. God, who in sundry sundry times, repeatedly over and over again, sundry times, and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, and the revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit is God's voice. He's got nothing else to say to you. Hallelujah. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Make no mistake, by whom also in his deity he made the worlds. Now this is why when I said, God, show me your love, and I'm a stickler for the word. You know, because that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, is God's voice. It is how he's speaking to the world now, through him. He has spoken to us by his Son. That's God's voice. So whatever I think I get, if it's not confirmed by the canon of the Scripture and the revelation of his Son, then I won't receive it. Hallelujah. That says, God, show me your word. Show me your love. You peeled a peel off, and it like to destroy me of your compassion. If I walk in so carnal and so close to the earth, that just one level of the Father's love about destroyed me where I am walking. And I don't mean that. I mean, there was no sorrow in my crying. I don't mean that. I just simply mean I couldn't take much more. Said, show me from your word. And that's when he began here, I believe, right after I come back from a week in Cleveland after the conference, or the following Sunday. But I got into a shortcut, saving you a lot of time, it's into the heart of a servant. Save yourself years. Take a shortcut. Jesus washed the disciples' feet as an example. As I've done, do you also, he said. And so when I saw him washing the 12 apostles' feet, the 12 disciples, I saw it pyramid to all of humanity, which all he was telling me is, son, if I washed their feet, I washed yours. Now, we found out what Satan was after from the 4th chapter of Matthew, when in his creation he was the sum total of everything. As far as beauty's concerned, he was full of pipes, or it wasn't pipes sticking out, it was the harmony of his beauty and his voice brought when it opened all creation up to worship. Is when you saw him, just the sum total of God's creation invested in him, just his beauty struck off for God, and the way he sung would open creation up to God. That's why God goes after everybody who's called to deliver the body of Christ into worship very, very young. I believe one of the missing keys is found in worship for his geographical dwelling presence. You can't have that all the time without knowing him. Well, when he couldn't get Jesus to fall over his flesh, turning stones into bread, he moved to the emotional realms of the soul and tried to get him to commit suicide by mistranslating a verse, saying the angels will gather you up, but you won't dash as much as your foot against the stone, so jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Would not. He said, I'll not tempt God. So then he took him up onto the high mountain of religion, that Satan rules over the religions of the world and social systems and New Age moves and every other damnable thing. He sends people to hell with that. Took him up there. Showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and says, now, this is what I really want from you. Fall down. Come on. Fall down. Worship me. Now Satan, who was then known as Lucifer, saw how God received the glory and saw how it pleased him. And he's received the worship. And obviously it's something so prized by God. He began to take it for himself. He tried to get Jesus. He offered him the world and the kingdoms and the glory of them. Jesus would not. He said, you get behind me. Then 3 years later, he's on his knees before a fallen race. He wouldn't bow down before Satan. He's on his knees before a fallen race, washing the filth and betrayal off our feet. God, who in sundry times and divers manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds when he washed your feet. The grains of sand he knelt on was made by him. You were born by him in your creation. Yeah, who are you? He'd get down in front of you. Do I feel loved? Do I? I can hardly take it. I can hardly take it. In the third verse, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And this is who he was before he was poured out into deity, humanity, and his deity. He was called the Word. He's upholding all things from his deity, or the word of his power, when he had by himself, he did this himself, purged our sins. And then he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said at any time, thou art my son, this day I have born thee, I have begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he brings the first begotten, the first one into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. But what did he say about the name the angels held? To the angels he saith, who maketh? Now notice the difference between him and the angels. He was born. They were made. Difference between you and an angel. You are born. They were made. When he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." "Explain," he said. He said, "You're a teacher in Israel." Good one too. Judge. Probably sat on the Sanhedrin court and judged over the affairs of the people. He said, "You're a teacher and you don't understand this." He says, "As the wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it comes or so it goes. So is everyone's born of the Spirit." The word for wind there is the same as breath. As in what? As when he formed Adam's body out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into him, that he reached on the inside of himself and took life. There was no creation here. There was a beginning, but the beginning was born. He breathed into him. This is why he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." You hear the sound. You don't know where it comes, where it goes. So is every man that receives the life from God. They're born of the Spirit. You're a new creation, all right, because you have been born of God. Difference between you and angels, they were made. You were born. Well, he said, "He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." By inheritance? Woo, here we go into that inheritance things again. Here we go again. Covenant or inheritance? Covenant or inheritance? Well, once the will was read, the covenant was with the sinner. I got born again. After I was born again, it become inheritance. Thank you. Inheritance. Now remember, the way God finally demonstrated that, three of my are biological, two of my kids is adopted. He said, "Do you treat your adopted?" I said, no. "They're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." When everybody seen Tawny being Filipino and Chinese, the lightning quick minds of the kids at school said, after they saw me and Rosalie, two big old peakety white Gentiles, stigmat to the sun, top of the list for her. Never mind.
"Are you adopted, Tom?"
She said, "I used to be."
Amen.
"I used to be. But now she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Because the adoption was complete. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Now, when your oldest son raids the refrigerator, what does he do it based on?" I said, "Trust me, God, sonship." Comes in, he doesn't ask. Looks like an elephant burial ground when he's done. Bones strewn all over. Meat on the walls and sinks and kitchen. Does he ask? No, he has rights. He said, "Well, what if Ton or Daniel got their adoption papers out?" "We have an agreement. We have a covenant. You better feed me." And laid it out on the table and told God they wouldn't sit down for a good month. Mm-hmm. "Well, why don't you get off his porch and quit yelling at him and go in and eat?"
Amen.
Last statement. Whew. He by inheritance has obtained a more excellent name than they. Let's run ahead a little. Oh, well, he did. How about us? How about us? Run ahead a little. Second chapter. 11th verse. Second chapter, 11th verse 4. Both, two of us, he that sanctify and they that are sanctified, all are of one. For which cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call us his brother. For he that sanctifieth And he that sanctifies, that's me, sanctified, is all of one. For this cause, he, Jesus, is not ashamed. There's no old man left. I've been born of God. And he's not ashamed to call me. Hallelujah. His brother. Well, you might find out what he said he would do with us. 12th verse, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will worship with us.